I like this poster that I saw, and it starts at the bottom. One touch of God's favor can turn everything around. One touch of God's favor can turn everything around. In a short period of time, favor will take you from the prison to the palace.
Welcome to Anchored in Jesus, the teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze, founder of the Pittsburgh Institute of Biblical Studies, author, and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. This is Sonia Hall, thanking you for joining us today for the conclusion of Walking in God's Favor. So let's join Dr. Glaze for the conclusion of Walking in God's Favor.
The way it is with God. Sometimes God, he'll let you get down in your cup, and then sometimes he'll fill it up. And you just can drink from your saucer, and you don't have to worry about even getting into the cup. But the blessing is that when the cup overflows, that the people around you, it splashes on them too. You know, they get a part of that blessing. So when God's favor comes down, it can't be transferred, but God's favor can benefit others. Favor is not given freely. Favor is not given freely. You know, I'm gonna say this, all right, and don't take this wrong, all right? This is just a figure of speech. God is stingy with his favor. He's stingy with his favor. Now, his grace is unmerited, right? His grace is overflowing, that God gives his grace to everybody. Ephesians 2, 8, and 9, for by grace you are saved through faith, and it is a gift of God, not of yourself. So, you know, this is God's unmerited favor, that grace, there's nothing that you can do to earn grace, that God just gives grace freely, right? But God is. He's stingy with his favor, right? He reserves that. And I'm getting ready to show you here in a second who God reserves his favor for. So keep that in mind, that favor is not given freely. It is earned. How do we obtain God's favor? How do we obtain God's favor? Well, you got to seek wisdom, right? Right. You know, God is not going to give his favor to a fool. If you're a foolish person and you do foolish things, God is not going to give you his favor. Let's look at Proverbs chapter 8 and verse 33. Proverbs chapter 8 and verse 33. Solomon says, hear instruction and be wise and refuse it not. Are you seeking wisdom? The mere fact that you came here today means that you want wisdom, that you want to get some knowledge that you're going to be able to apply to life situations. That's wisdom. So as you seek wisdom, the scripture says, be wise. It says, hear instruction and be wise and refuse it not. Blessed is the man who heareth me. Who heareth who? Not God, but hears wisdom. Watching daily at my gates, waiting at the post of my door. You know what the picture is here? The picture is of a soldier that's outside the tent, where there's generals inside, and the generals are putting together a plan of execution to attack the enemy so that once this plan is finished, then they can give it to the troops. And so the one that's waiting at the post, the one that's waiting at the door, is waiting to hear the wisdom, the plan that's coming from the general. And then once they get the plans, then they run out to take it to the troops to execute it. He says, blessed is the man who heareth me, watching daily at my gates, waiting at the post of my door. Is there a time when you are by the post of devotion? You are by the altar of God. That you have come and there is a desire to say, speak to me, Lord. Give me the instructions so that I can run out and execute them on the field. You know, is there a time? You know, yesterday we talked about discipleship. And one of the things about a church where there is a culture of discipleship is that the members have a regular time in devotion and prayer. Where there is a culture of discipleship, the members, not the pastor only, not the deacons, not the deaconess, but the members of the church have a regular time where they come before the Lord to receive wisdom and instruction so that they can go out and execute the orders of the day. Do you have that time? Do you have that quiet time? Do you have that daily time where you sit? You sit outside the tent of God and you're in his word and you're praying and you say, speak, Lord, tell me what you want me to hear because I'm ready to take it and do your bidding and to do your will. Solomon said that the one that does that, for whoso findeth me findeth life and shall obtain favor of the Lord. All the stuff I said before about favor, what favor can do. And you say, well, how can I get favor? I mean, that would be my question. You know, Reverend Glaze, you started off powerful talking about favor. Man, I want favor. Well, there you go right there. Seek wisdom. You know, seek instruction. And as you seek wisdom and as you seek instruction, you will find favor. God, now, either this verse is saying what is true or it's not true. It says, for whoso findeth wisdom findeth life and shall obtain favor of the Lord. You obtain favor by fearing the Lord. You obtain favor by fearing the Lord. Look at Psalm 147. Psalm 147, verses 10 and 11. He delighteth not in the strength of the horse. He taketh pleasure, not pleasure in the legs of a man. The Lord favors or takes pleasure in those who fear him, in those who hope in mercy. Those the Lord takes pleasure, or the Lord gives favor, the Hebrew word there says, to those that fear him. Do you fear the Lord? No, I'm not talking about, I got into a discussion one time, and you know, God was telling me what it means to fear the Lord, and he said, and we got into a big argument, and he got mad at me. But he said, to fear the Lord means to be afraid of the Lord. And I said, no, that's not what it means. He said, yeah, it does. It means that you are afraid of God. God wants you to be afraid of. I said, no, man, that's not what the word means. I said, the word means reverential respect. That man, you respect God. That you honor God. That you fear God, that you do it with everything that you do, that you do it with reverence. No, what did God tell Moses when he came into his presence? Take off your shoes. Take them off. Why? Because the place where you're standing is holy ground. Do you realize that the presence of God in your life? And do you reverence that? You know, I heard the story about a surgeon who was getting ready to go do surgery, and somebody remarked to him that Oh man, you know, you've done this heart surgery and you do it so much that you could probably do it with your eyes closed. No, I don't want that now. Right? So the surgeon said, no. He said, every time I do a surgery, I do it with the same consciousness. I do it with the same regard as if I was doing my very first one. He said, I treat all of them with that cautiousness, with that acknowledgement, with that understanding. You're all at the tip of my fingers. And so it is with the child of God. Maybe the reason that we don't see the favor of God is because we don't fear God. You know, what does it mean to fear? To fear God means his reverential respect. That as I live my life in the presence of God. And because I know I'm in the presence of God, that I do everything I can to respect God. Oh, my goodness. Do you live your life like that? You know, there's so many things that distract us, so many things that take us away from the reverential respect that God is due. How do you obtain favor? By fearing the Lord. How do you obtain favor? Psalm 5, verse 12 says, by living a righteous life. By living a righteous life. Psalm 5 in verse 12, for thou, Lord, will bless the righteous. With favor will thou compass him as a shield, as with a shield. That when you live a righteous life, the Bible says that God puts his favor around you like a shield. That when nobody's perfect. God understands that. That we're going to fall, we're going to make mistakes, nobody's perfect. But let me ask you the question. Are you at least aiming for righteousness? You know, when you pull out the darts, are you aiming for the bullseye of righteousness? Or are you just kind of throwing your darts anywhere? That if we want God's favor, that we need to purpose in our hearts that we are going to live a righteous life. You remember the song that the choir sang this morning, right? The male chorus, one of the things, you know, I pray for what? Increase. I pray for increase. Enlarge my territory. Y'all sang that. Then you say, the men stood up here, they sang it, but you listened to it. You agreed with them. Lord, increase my territory. Enlarge my territory. Give me increase. Well, what are you asking for? As I sat there, I said, wow. They're asking for favor. They're asking for God's special consideration. That's what they're asking for. And so as you want to obtain favor, these are some of the things the Bible says that if you do these things right here, see, then Nehemiah 3:31 in the NIV, what is the prayer? What is the prayer? Remember me with favor, my God. Lord, remember me with favor. You know, again, I go back to Mike Murdoch, and he said, one day of favor is worth 1,000 days of labor. Right? Lord, remember me with favor. So let me say this, that you can't pray that prayer. Oh, you know where I'm going, right? You know where I'm going. You can't pray that prayer. That's why I put that up there. You thank God for PowerPoint, right? Where they have those different slides and you can put, you know, two slides side by side, right? You can't pray the prayer if you're not doing what it says. I mean, if you are blatantly disregarding one of the three things on that side right there, you don't even need to pray for prayer. You know, the men sang this morning, you don't even need to sing that song, right? The world is not going to tell you the Pastor Glex is going to tell you the truth now, right? I'm going to tell you the truth, right? You don't need to pray that prayer if you're not seeking after wisdom, if you're not fearing the Lord, and if you're not living righteous. But when, if you're doing those things, I'm going to tell you this. Favor will find you, man. It will find you. You know, there was two guys went out on a little boat, and they were sailing, and a storm came and took them off their course, and they ended up on this small deserted island. And this seemed like, you know, all hope was lost. And one of the guys said, "My pastor will find us." He said, "My pastor will find us." A little bit later, he said, "My pastor will find us." And the guy said, will you stop saying that? You know, why do you keep saying that your pastor will find us? He said, "Because I'm a billionaire and I tithe at our church." Favor, it will find you. You know, if you are living right, if you are doing these things, favor will find you. Look at those who lost God's favor. Adam and Eve, they had the favor of God, and they lost it. King Saul, he had the favor of God, and he lost it. You can have God's favor and lose it by doing something knuckleheadish, right? By doing something stupid, by getting into sin. That you can, the favor of God, you can lose God's favor on your life. Man, Adam and Eve were God created by the hand of God. They had, if anybody had favor, they had favor. And they lost it. King Saul, God blessed him to be the first king of Israel. And God repented. And God said, "I regret that I made Saul king." He lost his favor. You know, many of you have, I know when I was in high school and college, read the rhyme of the Ancient Mariner. The rhyme of the Ancient Mariner. And there was an albatross that was on the ship. And the sailors believed that the albatross brought them good luck. Now, again, I don't believe in luck. I told you, I think I said last week that, or a week before, that, you know, as Christians, we don't deal with luck. But this is the story of the Ancient Mariner, right? That they believed that the albatross brought them good luck. And one day the captain, he got tired of looking at the albatross, and he killed it. And when he killed the albatross, it seemed like misfortune and curses began to follow the ships. And I wonder sometimes if God's favor is not like that albatross, that albatross is there. And while the albatross is there, we are experiencing the blessings of God. But then we do something stupid to kill the favor of God, and it's not there anymore. Man, do you want the favor of God on your life? God's special considerations. I know that I want the favor of God here at Bethany Baptist Church. I realize that we want to do the things that God wants us to do. We want to be involved in missions. We want to be involved in outreach. We have a food pantry. We have the master's kitchen. We support missions all around the world. We want to be obedient to do what God has called us to do, because we want His favor. You know, a whole lot of churches, when you talk to missionaries coming through here, they're telling me about church after church after church that are stepping away from missions. I thank God that Bethany Baptist Church is not stepping away, but we're looking for ways to get more involved in missions. Because I believe that, again, quote unquote, that missions could be the albatross for Bethany Baptist Church. That the reason that God is favoring Bethany, the reason that God is blessing Bethany, is because we have a heart to see the gospel go out beyond the walls of this church. And God's favor rests upon it. I pray that as we move ahead, that we would not look for ways to stay the same in missions, but that we would look for ways to increase our involvement and our giving in missions. Because, Man, I believe that, man, God looks down, and I believe that's one of the reasons why, you know, every year we meet our budget. Now, when I say meet it, we might not meet the budget that we set, but we spend about the same as we take in every year. And you see churches all around that are closing the doors. You see churches all around that can't meet their budgets. You know, praise God that God's favor rests upon us. Sometimes we come to the end of the year, you know, we might be $6,000 down, we might be $4,000 down, but the saints, you, the people of God sitting right here that you come through with those year-end tax, no, I'm just kidding. No, just kidding. Right? That the people of God, you know, come through in their giving to the Lord. Favor, you know, God's favor. Let me say this, and then I'm gonna wind this thing down. The Lord's favor, and I think I'm gonna stop with this. I still have another half of the sermon left. I'll save it for next week. Let me just finish with this right here. And that is, the Lord's favor does not mean freedom from hardships. Just because the Lord's favor is on you doesn't mean that you're not going to have any difficult times. All right? Moses had God's favor. Hannah had God's favor. Job had God's favor. Daniel had God's favor. Paul had God's favor. And all of them, every last one of them, had problems. But I would rather go through my problems with the favor of God on me than without the favor of God on me. You know, I heard that, you know, Tony Evans was preaching. I'll close with this right here. His niece had died, and so they brought, you know, the family together, brought the church together, and they brought his kids. Tony got four kids, and they brought his kids up on the stage, and they were trying to, you know, they brought the congregation in, and they were trying to process, you know, what had just happened, this death, because they said it hit close to home. And there was some who were struggling with it and saying, well, how could God let this happen? You know, how could God let this happen? And Tony was saying that sometimes people, when they go through tragic situations, they want to walk away from God because they say, how can God let this happen? And I remember what Tony Evans said. He said, if you're going to go through a tragedy, he said, I'd rather go through it with God than without God. Right? You got to go through it anyways. Why get mad at God and leave him? Right? Why get mad at God and leave him? You're going to go through it anyways. So why not go through it with God? And so, saints, I'm saying the same thing about favor, that you want to go through difficult times in life. And don't throw your favor out the window. Don't lose your favor because of anger. Don't lose your favor because of disappointment. Don't lose your favor because of bitterness. Don't throw your favor out the window. That whenever you go through it with God's favor. As we close, can you put that slide back up there that when we answered the question, what is favor? What is favor? Can you put that slide back up there? God's favor is his approval with or delight in an individual, which results in the Lord treating him or her with special consideration.
Thank you for joining us today on Anchored in Jesus. Tune in next time for the first half of Walking in God's Favor, Part 2. If you would like to request an audio copy of today's message, Walking in God's Favor, you can contact us at anchoredinjesus.org and request Walking in God's Favor. That's anchoredinjesus.org and request Walking in God's Favor. Or call us at 877-831-5060. When you visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, you can view many of the other teachings by Dr. Glaze. Dr. Glaze is the author of 8 books. For more information about these resources and how to order, visit anchoredinjesus.org or call 877-831-5060. We also invite you to like us on Facebook at Anchored in Jesus Ministries. If you would like to make a financial contribution, please visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, or send it to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. Once again, that website is anchoredinjesus.org, or you can send your financial contribution to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. It's through your prayers and gifts that we remain on the air. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, comes from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and an anchor for the soul. Now, for Dr. Glaze and our volunteer staff, I'm your host, Sonia Hall, reminding you, you don't have to be tossed in the storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.